Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The doctrine which accords to godliness. That's the last phrase of 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. And the only part of that verse that we really haven't had time to discuss yet, and so we'll be taking that up as we begin the Beacon Broadcast on this Friday, June 18. Thank you for joining us, and we are so grateful to those radio listeners who help us with the cost of maintaining this program on this station. Remember, Paul is dealing with the problem of heresy, that is, doctrine, which deviates from orthodoxy, which deviates from what the Bible teaches. And he says in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness." What does that mean? The doctrine which is according to godliness. Godliness. The word translated godliness is a Greek word which means to act reverently toward God. That which brings one into a proper, worshipful, reverent attitude toward God. So, these teachers reject doctrine that would lead to godliness, that would lead to a worshipful, reverent attitude toward God. That's what happens when people start questioning the Word of God. They become very irreverent. They become disrespectful toward God when they teach words that are not wholesome, that do not accord with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they are encouraging people by their teaching, by their form of Christianity, which is now a corrupted form. They are teaching people not to be reverent toward God. They aren't teaching people to be true worshipers of God. They're teaching people to be skeptics and smart alecks and know-it-alls and proud and arrogant in their relationship to God and to the Bible and the Christian religion. True doctrine will lead to godliness. It will emphasize what is truly godly and will help people to be drawn into a right relationship with God. False doctrine does just the opposite. It actually creates a barrier between men and God. Instead of drawing men into a right relationship with God, because it is teaching error, it tends to push people further and further away from God. So, heresy is a very serious matter for a number of reasons, and one reason is because of its negative impact upon individual church members, individual people who call themselves Christians. It has a very negative impact upon the essence of their Christianity, which is a humble, reverent relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what are the causes of heresy? Well, he goes on to say, in verse 4, the person who does this is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Well, here are the causes, and he lays out several. Number one, pride. At the root of heresy is pride. Pride is at the heart of all of our sin, because sin is rebellion against God. It is going contrary to the expressed will of God. It is defying God and what He has communicated to us in His Word. That's what tells us what His will is. And it's defying that and saying, no, I'm going to carve my own way. I'm going to institute my own concept of what is right and wrong. I'm not going to accept this. Not going to accept yours. Not going to accept what the Bible says. I'm going to go my own way on this. I've got a right to do that. I've got a mind. I can think. I've got as much right to decide what is right and wrong, what is godly, what is ungodly, what is true religion, what is false religion. I've got as much right to determine those things as God does. Beginning to sound a great deal like Lucifer and his rebellion in heaven. I will be like the Most High God. I have as much right to determine these things for myself as God does. But no, we don't, do we? We want to think so. There's something within our sinful heart that makes us think that, but a moment's reflection will quickly tell us that that's not so. We don't have that right because we didn't make ourselves. We are creatures. God is the creator. God made us. God made the universe. God, therefore, has the right to rule the universe. He has the right to set forth how his creatures are to behave. It is true, God made us with an ability to believe him or disbelieve him, to obey him or disobey him. He gave us that ability of determination. But that doesn't mean that if we use it against God, if we exalt ourselves essentially to the place of God, saying, I've got as much right to determine these things as God does, that, of course, is setting ourselves upon the throne of God. And though we may have the ability to do that, it doesn't mean that we can do so without consequences. The only proper course of action is to acknowledge God is God, I am not. God is creator, I am creature. God is ruler, I am subject. God has a right to rule me because God has given me life, God sustains my life, God has made the world in which I live and has created all the things that enable me to enjoy this world and this life. I owe everything to God. I owe him my obedience. I owe him my allegiance. I owe him my honor, my reverence, my worship. And so I must yield my thoughts to his. I acknowledge that my thoughts are not always right. So I'm thankful that God has given me a Bible that reveals to me his will, and I am grateful for the opportunity of learning his will so that I can submit myself to it, so that I can correct my thoughts by it. I can bring my thoughts into captivity to the will of God that shows me what truly is right and truly is wrong. I'm grateful for that opportunity. I'm grateful for the opportunity of conforming my mind to the Word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is the perfect will of God, says Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm grateful that God has given me that opportunity. And the only thing to do is to acknowledge that God is God and I'm not. But pride doesn't want us to do that, does it? And so pride causes us to take the heretical route if we don't put that pride down, if God doesn't work in our lives to show us our pride and to put that pride down. And ignorance is the second cause. He is proud, verse 4 says, knowing nothing. Knowing nothing. ignorant. And this doesn't only mean a lack of information, but it means an inability to reason clearly, unable to do concentrated, reflective thinking. Why wouldn't we be able to do that? God has created us as rational creatures with an ability to think things through logically, but of course sin steals away that ability. Does it rob us of it completely? Well, in most cases, not. We generally have some vestige of it, but it will take a great chunk of it, and it will render people inability to truly comprehend God's Word. Many times, in fact, I'd say in all cases, because men don't want it. They shut their minds to it. They turn their backs on it. They really don't want to deal with it. They don't want to understand it properly, accurately. They'd rather misunderstand it and misrepresent it and not be corrected. And they know that if they really looked into this thing, that it would show them that they're wrong, that it would correct their wrong notions. They don't want that, so they will deliberately ignore it and consequently act on the basis of ignorance rather than on the basis of a knowledge of God's Word. You've learned that, I'm sure. I have, too. Trying to talk to somebody about the Bible, and so many times people have some warped idea about some truth of the Bible, and they'll trot that out as their objection, and you say, no, that's not right. That's not what the Bible teaches. Here's what the Bible actually teaches, and they'll have nothing of it. They want to cling to their distortion. They don't want a correction. They don't want to get their misunderstanding corrected so that they can understand the Bible correctly and understand God aright. They love their distortion because that gives them their justification for refusing to believe in God, to believe in Christ, to submit to God's Word. It's a willful ignorance. A willful ignorance. We live in an age where most people make their decisions not based upon reason, but based upon feeling, emotion, the way I feel about something. Pretty hard to discuss something with someone who reacts to everything emotionally, not on the basis of facts and logic and reasoning, but rather on the basis of, well, that's just the way I feel about it. As if that's end of discussion. That's it. Close the door. That's final. If I feel this way about it, that's the way it is. And to many people, unfortunately, that is the way it is. But don't you understand how dangerous that is, how wrong that is, how that is guaranteed to lead us to the wrong conclusion and wrong decisions and wrong assessments about God and about the Bible? It leads us to ignorance. Of course, one of the problems, too, in our day is that many Christians don't study the Bible, and unfortunately, not all churches teach the Bible clearly. We need to teach the Word of God. That's the pastor's primary responsibility, to teach the Word of God and to insist on the supremacy of God's Word over all human traditions. But it's not easy. It is not easy. Traditions can be so deeply ingrained, and truth can be so much resisted. People don't want to have their notions dislodged. I might deal with a couple of common ones as we come back to this on Monday, but this is so prevalent everywhere you look. I would rather hold on to my traditions than to accept the Bible as God's infallible word. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.